welcome to Show Me Your Mic, the podcast that talks to other podcasters about their podcasts. You can find it online, goodstuff.fm/SMYM, or on Twitter, SMYM_FM. I'm your host, Chris Enns, and for this episode, I've got Alex Carpenter, who hosts I Brew My Own Coffee, a podcast to learn about how to brew your own coffee from the comforts of your own home or office. I decided to wait and release this on Wednesday morning because you need a cup of coffee in your hand while you listen to it. Be sure to check out the auxiliary episode after the show where Alex gives me advice on what coffee gear I should buy next. Show me your coffee. My thanks to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode of Show Me Your Mic. More about them a little later on in the show. For now, enjoy my conversation with Alex. I think I'm breaking my rule. I can't remember what my rule is. you've got 6 episodes. I think I said 5 to 10 episodes. So I think that was the rule as far as appearing on my, you know, prestigious important podcast.
All right, about just podcasts. Made the cut.
Yeah,
huh?
Just barely got it in there, but that's okay. How are you doing this evening down there?
I'm doing great. We're getting a little bit of snowfall finally, so kind of having to shovel the driveway a little bit more. We kind of didn't have any of that normal snow that we're used to up until this point. So It's kind of been a weird year so far, but we're definitely getting it now. So
yeah, it's not, you're saying that's not normal for you to not have much snow up to this point?
Usually around Christmas time, we'll have a good amount of snow, but it kind of held off a little bit. And now we're finally kind of getting a little bit of coverage on the ground and stuff. So yeah. Now I have to break out the snowblower, which actually yesterday, like we had one of the first snowfalls where I had to actually use it, and it was like wet snow and it just clogged up my snowblower. So I had to do half the driveway with the shovel though. So
roughing it the old fashioned way.
Yeah. Probably not as much snow as you guys are getting up in Canada though. So
yeah, no, we got a decent, we've had, it's the cold that gets me. It's the minus 30 Celsius stuff. That's I think minus 40 Celsius is when minus 40 Fahrenheit meets or something.
Right.
So we've had a few days where it's felt like that with the wind. Do you guys do the felt like or feels like temperatures?
No, not that I know of.
You don't have like where they'll say like it's minus 20 or whatever, but then feels like minus 30 with the wind chill. You don't have that?
No.
Okay. Well, then you're not that cold. So you're, if you don't understand that feeling, then,
I go by, we have some chickens that are out in our garage and their water freezes. So that's when I know it's cold.
Nice. That's a whole discussion. This isn't a chicken podcast at all, but having chickens in the yard or something is some sort of civic debate going on in my city here, actually, Saskatoon. So.
Yeah. I mean, we had to go through the city and stuff, and our neighbors had to be cool with it, but they are safely tucked away in our garage right now. So yes.
So you don't have a chicken podcast either. That's not why you're on this show. You have a coffee podcast, which I think there's something about, I don't know about you, but like definitely maybe it's just because the 8 months of the year, it is cold up here. And so coffee and cold kind of go together for me. But does it help? Do you feel to have chillier weather, at least fall weather, to enjoy coffee as opposed to the summer? Or
I definitely think season. So I mean, like, I feel like everybody just appreciates the coffee a little bit more during the winter months, but I drink coffee all year round, so like in the summertime we'll go with like some cold brew coffees, but I think it's definitely nice to come in after shoveling driveway and make a cup of coffee for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're the podcast. Sorry, I was gonna say the coffee is called I Brew My Own Coffee.
Yep.
And like I said, you're 6 episodes in, and talking with just different folks who are interested in, like, obviously more than just go to Starbucks. This is something where you're brewing your own, obviously, just by the title.
And exactly.
Talking with folks who are likewise interested in coffee at a little bit nerdier level, if that's the appropriate way to say it. But what sort of prompted you to start a podcast like this, where it's, I was listening to it, I've listened to a couple episodes and it definitely, I can, makes me, well, it's late at night here, but I still kind of made me want to go make a cup of coffee. And then, but it also, it feels like it's a visual and almost a in-person medium that you need to really appreciate what you're talking about, and like going just audio only, obviously in your case. you can sort of be working uphill, I guess, or against yourself on. But why start with a podcast, I guess? What was your...
My wife worked in the coffee industry, especially coffee industry, for the past 4.5 years. And she competed in competitions and was really into that whole thing, worked in the coffee shop, was the manager there. And recently she decided to drop that job and take up a completely different job market or whatever. And I kind of wanted to start something myself. I've been a longtime reader of like Justin Jackson stuff and Paul Jarvis's writing, and they'd really been big into creating a product. So I just felt inspired from listening to them guys talk. And so it kind of was at the perfect timing. All this led up to each other. And we decided I wanted to keep my wife into coffee somehow. So it was like a perfect medium to start getting her to share her coffee experience outside of the coffee shop. So kind of we decided to start up a website that is dedicated to helping people who are outside the coffee industry, who might have some experience with it or none at all, just to help them get a better brewing experience at home or in the office.
Nice.
So, so when we first started out, we wanted to we decided we wanted to write an ebook on it so that we could share all the different brewing techniques and how to brew each one and stuff like that. So we started with that, and just like what Justin and all them guys say, you know, trying to grow the audience for that. And I just really became into podcasts this past year at work. And it was just a great medium for me to help grow the audience. And I think, like, for me personally, like the medium works really well, because like I have these ideas in my head, but like to like write blog posts and stuff don't work the best for me. Like it's easier for me just to like explain them and talk about them, and then have the go back and forth with the interviewees and get excited about it and hear the emotions and stuff. I feel it's just like a little bit more exciting than just putting words on a screen for people. So that's kind of where it started.
And you've been, aside from, I think I listened to a couple of the episodes and they seem to be interview based, like you said, is that sort of the focus, or are you kind of going to interject a little bit of your own like non-interview, I guess, or whatever discussions?
The interview is probably going to be most of the time. A lot of the interviews that we have done already are people who are outside of the coffee industry. They're not baristas. Most of the time they might have, like one of our first ones, he'd been brewing for 3 or 4 months. So he was very new to coffee and brewing it himself. But the thing that we really liked about it was the story that he created around coffee. And he started up a little meetup out in LA where a group of guys meet up at like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning at this spot by the river, and they just brew coffee outside together. And we just loved that story that he created around coffee. And we felt that stories like that are a little bit more exciting than just hearing us talk about, okay, here's your AeroPress, you know, you want this much coffee and you want this much water. So we definitely think we try and do something that's inspires people to get out and start brewing coffee and just create an experience around it. So
nice. And what's been the response as far as like listeners, I guess, and transition from, I'm assuming you sort of sell or pitch the book a bit, the ebook or whatever, through that as well. But the interest of listeners to the show, do you sort of build on the audience that these folks might bring to the show, that tends to be sometimes the interview model for podcasts, is kind of like your audience plus their audience, and somehow together you get a nice audience listening and stuff. And
exactly.
Gotten some decent feedback and sort of that built the audience that way?
Yeah, like I'm big into biking myself. So I knew that the guy who I first interviewed, I'd been following him on Instagram for a while, and I knew kind of his lifestyle and the people he hung out with and the biking community that he was involved in. And it's really a big community. So I did kind of piggyback on that that community as well, to because I know all those guys who bike are going to the coffee shops and in between rides posting photos of their coffee they're getting. So that's definitely a big part of it for sure.
Yeah. Nice. And the guests, the way you're approaching guests and things like that, are they familiar? Again, like you've had five guests, I guess, thus far, but are they familiar with the idea of being on a podcast, or is it kind of like you have to explain a bit of that angle first before you can sort of to convince them, I guess, to be on a show?
I've had a pretty good experience with the people that I've contacted. I mean, everyone I've contacted so far knows what a podcast is. They don't have any microphone or anything. So most of the time I'm working with someone who has some earbuds in. And most of the guys who I've had right now have had a beard or something like that. And you can always hear it like scruffing up against their beard throughout the show. So I definitely have some technical hurdles to get over with the interviewees. So
yeah, it's too bad there's no like beard filter yet for
exactly. <podcasting. laughs> And I guess I didn't even notice it. Most of the time I don't notice it until after I'm listening back to the episode and I'm like, wow, it was pretty much the whole show. I can hear that. So
yeah, that's what before I got my whatever spit guard thing for my mic too. I would just subconsciously kind of like put my, if I had a beard or scruff or whatever, I would, you know, rest it against the microphone just to, you know, find where the mic was or whatever. And then yeah, listening back afterwards, I was like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, and that is the funny thing. I know, like the reason I asked that about, you know, approaching people is often I've had discussions with people about doing a podcast and they think, well, my industry, there isn't a great podcast about whatever it happens to be, fixing hard drives. So just looking at a hard drive in front of me, I'm trying to think of a better example, but whatever it is. But then you go and start approaching people within your industry and everyone's really reluctant because they don't spend their time talking on podcasts like some of us nerds do. And so it can be hard to convince folks to actually just talk about it. But that's, yeah, good that you're having good luck, I guess, anyways, with guests and hitting them up and stuff.
Like I said, they're most of the time they're out of the coffee industry. They're just, I mean, everyday people that have different jobs, but they just have fun with coffee. So I think they're more, they get really excited. Like every time I ask them, they're like, oh yeah, for sure. When can we talk? Like, and I've definitely like had a good experience with that. So
nice. And I mean, the site for one too, just the site that you're using for your podcast is a great, gorgeous looking site. I mean, if you're at all a coffee aficionado, someone who likes coffee, it's not hard to appreciate all the great photography and stuff that you're using to show off the podcast and the content or whatever. But yeah, great job in designing and laying out. Because you're mixing, one thing I guess is that I'm trying to think of previous guests here, but a lot of the guests tend to be, we're a podcast and this is what, we're just doing a podcast. Whereas yours, podcast is one component of what you're, the whole thing that you're doing.
As a professional job, I work as a front-end developer and designer, so...
Oh, well, there you go. That's, yeah.
So, like, it was just a whole melding of my wife and I's talents together, and if either one of us didn't have one of the skills to do the site, like, we'd never have been able to get the project off the ground, so it definitely was something like, she had the coffee background, I knew how to build the website, design it, and do all that stuff, and kind of the podcast stuff, I kind of like nerding out over gear and doing this type of stuff. So it was kind of just like a selfish thing to do, but it's definitely been one of the biggest things for our website and growing it and getting any type of recognition. So,
yeah. And it's funny. I was just discussing with a friend of mine who's starting a thing and debating like, well, it has to look great. Like the podcast site has to look great. Otherwise people are going to get turned off. And then there's the debate of, well, you need good content so that, you know, that whole design and debate and function of the site and usability and all that kind of stuff that plays a factor in the success or failure of a podcast, I guess. Sorry, I'm just getting mesmerized by your homepage with the falling snow and poor coffee effects going by. But one thing you do use, we'll get into your gear and stuff in a minute, but one other aspect of promotion, it seems anyways, is using Instagram to sort of promote the site, I guess, as well as the podcast. And obviously it's kind of both kind of meld together in a weird way, but has using Instagram been primarily a benefit for the site, or do you think it helps the podcast as well? Because I don't know of a lot of podcasters using Instagram that well, and it's hard because you can't post a link in Instagram and have it clickable or tappable or whatever mm-hmm. on the app. So has it helped, or how do you think that's played out?
When we first started, I mean, it was kind of when Instagram started, I mean, everybody was posting photos of coffee, and then I just know like a bunch of people got upset with that and don't like seeing coffee photos all the time. So we kind of decided to make a dedicated account just so people know, like, if you're following this Instagram account, you're going to get photos of coffee. So it started off me and my wife just posting photos of just us brewing coffee at home. But then recently I talked to the Aaron who does the LA coffee meetup, and I just mentioned to him, I was like, hey, do you want to take over our Instagram account for a week and post photos of you just brewing at home, and then show some photos of the meetup that you guys do? And that was huge for us. Like, it worked great for getting more followers on Instagram and more followers to the to our site. And his episode is definitely one of the most listened to episodes so far. And I think it's mostly due because there's another site that is dedicated to fixed gear biking. It was started out as, it's like this site that's been around forever that I've always followed, called Traxosaurus Rex, but it's by this guy who runs a bike shop out of LA. And it was kind of a dream of mine to get onto his site, and I'm not good at making bikes or riding bikes that would get me onto the site, but my coffee brewing episode with Aaron actually was posted on that site. So it's kind of a weird, weird like way to get into the site, but it definitely getting onto that site, they're the number one referral to our website now. So it's kind of using the different ways to get into the different markets, you know, like I don't know if most people would think to market their coffee brewing site to a cycling community, but they're one of the most active ones to be brewing coffee themselves. So that was definitely going back to it, I guess. Yeah, Instagram has been super helpful for us.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, interesting crossover of communities, obviously, and then also just I'm sure there's like plenty of marketing, whatever. Sort of douchey my internet marketing guides that say have guest users on Instagram. Maybe, I don't know if that's a thing that people do, but I hadn't heard of that idea. And that's a great way of opening up your audience just by, like, it's similar to, I guess, what we do, what I'm doing, having you on my show and being on my show, et cetera, and similar ideas to that kind of idea where our audiences hopefully meet each other and have a cool hangout and then go listen to each other's podcasts or whatever.
Exactly. And then like we have our recent episode where we talked to a guy, he runs a site that he does by himself, where he just reviews coffees, and he's taken over our Instagram account this week because he was just on the podcast. And I mean, he tripled the amount of people that are following us now, and he just posts some really great photos. So, I mean, it's like giving our community better photos. Like, my wife and I can only take so many photos of the same coffee brewing right. experience we have every morning. So it's refreshing for our feed to have some other photos get in there, and they talk about the coffees they're brewing and then the gear they're using. So it's definitely helped a lot. And I think it's one of our best moves that we've done so far, I would say.
Nice. And then it looks like you post, I don't know if this is just recent or how you've always done it, but like the one way of getting around the link thing is you post in your bio on Instagram the latest episode, it looks like.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the latest blog post. But either way, that way at least you get a link somewhere to something so that people can tap it and go.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the guy who's taken over our Instagram feed this week is like, we try and promote them as much as they're promoting us, you know, like he does a lot of photos himself, but yeah, the only way to get a link on Instagram, unfortunately, is in the profile. So we'll usually say have link in profile and check it out through that way. But it works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. And I mean, it goes well with your sort of brand, your topic, I guess, a niche, whatever, of coffee to have it. I don't know how many times. I guess I could do something similar with the a Show Me Your Mic Instagram account of people taking photos of their gear. But again, that runs out fairly quick, which actually reminds me, I do need to get from you. I keep forgetting to ask guests, and I'll do it on the show this time so that you're more accountable to this, is to get a photo of your gear and a couple of shots of how you record your show, and we'll post that in the show notes on goodstuff.fm/smym. And this is episode 64. 66. 64 was two episodes ago, obviously. So let's get into, I guess, some of your gear and stuff that you're using. And but before I do that, I just want to thank our sponsor for this episode, which is Campaign Monitor. They make it super fun and easy and beautiful to send out email campaigns to your clients. You can try your hand with their template builder and have a responsive email template ready in about 60 seconds. With Campaign Monitor's features like geolocation segments, you can target certain areas. Their interactive map for sending out, when you send out a campaign and seeing it, it's called Worldview, where you can send and see what folks around the world, when and how they're opening and if they're sharing and clicking your newsletter campaigns. And then you can also monitor it on your iOS app, which looks great, and iOS 8, my iPhone 6 looks awesome, and get little notifications anytime somebody unsubscribes or subscribes, which hopefully happens more often than the former. And you can visit campaignmonitor.com to get started today, sending beautiful emails to your clients and friends and family, maybe. Thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. All right, so let's start. Let's go with the website first, actually. I'm just curious, just from a development standpoint, what kind of stuff you're using for designing the site and then hosting and things like that for the media files and stuff. What are you using, a CMS right now to run the site?
Yeah, pretty much all the work we do at the company I work for is in Expression Engine.
Oh, nice.
So I don't actually use that one. I use Craft CMS for the site that we have. It's just pretty much a custom built site on that CMS. Works good. It's free for me to use. I kind of have to do a couple workarounds to get a couple different channels to use, but it's what I knew from work, and it was the easiest way to get something on the web. So it was my first choice. But actually, recently, I was just working with Jekyll again, which is just like a flat file CMS, and I was kind of thinking about changing it back to that. But I'm coming from a designer standpoint, it's the site has gone through three big iterations already since we've launched. I definitely just get tired of stuff really quick. So I'm constantly in a state of, okay, what else can I do to the site? I see a new site on there on the web, and I'm just like, oh, that's really cool. I think that'd work really good for what we're doing. But this latest iteration has been up for a while, and I hope to not change it for a while. So, it's custom designed and built by me. Did all the HTML and CSS for it.
Is Craft, as far as using that as a CMS for a podcast, is it relatively easy? Is it kind of like helpful that you had some experience with it? If somebody was looking for something else besides a WordPress, is sort of the go-to, and maybe Squarespace or whatever, but sort of that next level bit of nerdiness, I guess. Is it worth going down that road, or is it a bit of a headache getting sort of fitting the podcast side of things into that CMS?
If I was just rolling a site for just a podcast, I probably wouldn't use Craft CMS. I mean, it would work great. It's pretty bare bones, but it's pretty powerful. And I just like that it doesn't come with any themes or anything like that. So you have full control of how everything looks, and I don't have to like pick through other design templates or anything to figure out how everything's going together. So that was kind of, we'd used it at work a couple of times, so I was familiar with it from that standpoint. But if I was rolling my own and was doing just a site dedicated to just the podcast, I would probably use Jekyll. Or something similar to that. For me, like, I'm working with HTML files every day and Markdown files, so I'm comfortable in that. I know, like, Squarespace and that type of websites, they kind of have some of the built-in features that make it probably a little bit easier if you're unfamiliar with, like, working with any type of CMS. So I don't have experience with that, but I assume it'd be easier than what we tried to create with our site. I mean, it's just a bunch of custom fields put together and then spit out in a way. It's not the best way I would have liked to handle it. It's a little tedious, but I don't want to go backtrack on it now. So
you almost need your wife to like lock up the FTP account or whatever, so you can't get in.
Exactly. She puts up with it, but like every time she sees me redesigning it, she's good at holding her tongue back about it, even though she just shakes her head at me every time. But I mean, it's fun to do. I mean, it is a passion project for both of us, so I just like messing around and being able to design my own site and sharing it with other people. So that's a big part of it too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And much like, I guess, you could probably some nice analogy to bring your own coffee and trying different things with your coffee, and similar with your, I know the appeal of, especially if you're sort of like stuck or uninspired, maybe with the podcast side of things, it's fun to just mess around with HTML, CSS, and at least feel like you're accomplishing something or just getting your brain unstuck somewhere else by focusing on another problem or made up problem, as the case may be.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then what do you use for hosting media files and things like that? Or the MP3s, I guess, in this case.
Well, I was, when I first started, I wanted to get the stuff out there as soon as possible. So I was looking at like the Lisbon service and then SoundCloud. A couple of the first episodes I just released on SoundCloud and was including those like iframes on the website. But then I needed to get featured in iTunes somehow. So I needed to get the RSS feed going for it. So the one that I found that I've heard about was Simplecast. And I've been using that one since. It works. I don't know if it's the best one to use, and I don't think I get the best analytics from it, but it's the one I went with, and it's really easy and it's simple interface and stuff. So that's what the decision kind of came down to.
Nice. Oh, like simplecast.fm, right?
Yep.
Josh Long, I think, or Josh somebody.
Yep. Josh
yeah.
Long.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's actually, I've often come across them, and you may be one of the, I know of people who are using them, but I don't know if I've had anybody on Show Me Mike anyways, who are using it. So it's, that's interesting. And so it's basically just a simple $12 a month. It doesn't look like they don't have multiple plans or anything like that. So it's just.
Yep. $12 a month per show that you want to do. I know Justin just started his new show Jacked Up, I want to say, and he's using that because if you want, you can have like they host a website for you as well with that. So you can just upload your episodes and they have kind of a pre-built template and your RSS feed is all set up for you and you're good to go. So I know with him, he wanted to get a show out there and didn't want to have to create a new website. So he just went with that. But I just don't know, like, I know from what I've seen before that the stuff that Josh has done doesn't stick around too long. So I'm scared like that for some reason, like it might not be here tomorrow. And then I would be stuck with figuring out how to create another RSS feed or changing all my shows over to somewhere else. So
right.
that just makes me a little nervous, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. Nerds always like to start new things. That's just kind of like, well, just like you're saying with the redesign, it's sometimes more fun just to rebuild, start a new idea, rather than continuing start a new podcast,
for sure.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. And then I'm trying to think of anything else that that covers the main stuff anyways, as far as hosting and design and CMS or whatever and kind of stuff. So then going to the audio that you're using, the gear that you're using, what kind of mics and stuff are you using to record your interviews and things like that?
So for the first episode, it was just kind of an introductory episode. My wife and I just sat over my desk and we put my Apple earbuds on the table and we recorded our first episode that way. And definitely didn't sound as nearly as good as they are getting to be. But since that one, I went out and I got a Audio Technica AT2020 USB mic. I didn't want to have to deal with the XLR mics and stuff like that. I want to keep it as simple as possible. The less things for me to mess up is gonna the better. So it was the first one that I saw that came out with a USB mic. And actually, after listening to one of your latest episodes with Ray, I want to say he was talking a lot about the $50 mic that he was using, and it is like, oh man, I could have cut it in half and had a better mic. It sounds like this one it works good. It just picks up a lot of noise around you really well, so I kind of have to turn everything off in the house and go for it.
Yeah. I know, that's the I was just trying to load it up here. I always forget the number on that one. SMYM/65, the ATR2100, I think.
Is, yeah,
the mic. Yeah. And hearing, like, if you for whatever reason, if this is your first episode of Show Me Your Mic you're listening to, if you go back to listen to episode 65, which I'll put in the show notes for this show, but Ray actually did a nice little sneaky, speaking of things popping up, but I don't know if you can hear the vacuum that just turned on in our house. Odd for 9:30 night. He switched mics mid recording, and whether you can tell or not, I guess, can help sort of determine, because he switched from a Heil PR40, which is what I'm talking on, which is like a $300 mic, down to that $50 mic. And I think I listened to it a few times, and I'd be hard pressed to tell the difference. But your mileage may vary and your voice may vary. Each person's voice is different. So, but I don't know, that's the AT2020. Actually, my brother-in-law just picked up that mic as well, and definitely a great, great mic. There's no issues with that. But yeah, I know the feeling of, I feel like too, like the mixer and the mic and stuff that I bought. Man, I could just spend $50 and have nothing else on my desk. That might be kind of nice.
Yeah, but I mean, I've definitely, like, since I've got this mic, I was like looking at the that mic that you're using, and I know Dan Benjamin always talks about that mic too. But I can't afford to put that kind of money out for it. And then I know there's a bunch of like XLR like cords causing like issues or something like that. And I just was like, oh, I better keep it simple. Otherwise, if there's any barrier where I'm going to be getting annoyed by something, I won't be able to create the podcast episodes, because I'll just be worrying about that. So,
yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, it's just definitely the more stuff you add into the equation, like, just, yeah, a mixer that for whatever reason, Mac, if you're out there and you have a Mackie mixer, you can probably sympathize that just randomly at some point it just adds static to your recording, and it's really hard to figure out why or when, and you don't really know until after you've done recording, and seems to be a Logic/Mackie issue. So if you're out there and you've had that experience, I feel your pain. And hopefully this doesn't now happen. I have backup recordings, you're recording your end, so obviously hopefully it all works out. But yeah, the more stuff, that's where I often advise folks, just to, before they commit too much to this either hobby or craft or potential career, is start with something like that, $50, just at one USB mic, and see if you actually enjoy doing it before you get all sorts of other complications that get in the way sometimes of actually just recording a podcast. So
yeah, I know, like Ray was saying, like that one is a USB mic, but can be used as an XLR in the future.
And at the same time, actually, that's how he does it. He uses them both outputs at the same time, which is crazy too. That's like, just in terms of functionality, obviously there's something about this Heil mic that's really good and really attractive, and it does a great job of capturing different vocal frequencies, all that kind of stuff. But functionality, you know, it's kind of like that. That mic is a good pickup truck that you can use for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is, I don't know if it's the Porsche or whatever, but it's something else that you can't drive in winter or something like that. But,
yeah.
But yeah, so no, yeah, definitely like, definitely try out that 2100 as a first step. And I would guess even, you know, you can order online, I'm sure, but even a music shop, I don't know what you guys have down in the States, but different music shops can order them into, and then you can at least try them out and maybe return it if it's not your thing, but yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So, and then what do you, are you using GarageBand or what do you use for editing?
For editing, it's Audacity. I mean, any type of search I did on recording stuff, it was definitely, Audacity was all over the board. So seeing that it was free and there's just tons of YouTube videos about how to do different stuff with it. So yeah. I use Skype to record the calls and then the call recorder by Skype or whatever that one's called. I just record through that. And I record my end too through Audacity just to have a backup of that. And usually everybody who I've interviewed doesn't have any type of recording on their side. So I have to just use what we get from the call recorder. But
cool. And that's, yeah, that's a fairly standard way. And it'll be interesting to see, I guess, as you do the show more often and maybe talk to different coffee nerds who've been on podcasts before, or if they have start cross-pollinating with other podcasters talking coffee and stuff, as to whether the gear starts to improve. It's something we've seen in the tech industry, I know, where like people who wouldn't otherwise have a decent mic or headsets or whatever all of a sudden start having them because they themselves are on podcasts more often, and even if they don't host their own show. But Yeah.
I definitely need to like get a boom arm or something. Like right now I have the blue bottle mocha pot box that my mic is sitting on. So it's very like, for anybody out there trying to get into podcasting, it is, you can do it very cheaply and get something out there. So don't feel like you have to throw a lot of money at it. So
yeah, exactly. And that's what's great, I think, especially now. And it isn't that it has been all that difficult before, but yeah, I guess in your case, the most expensive thing is probably your monthly hosting, I guess, for the media.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which, yeah, whether you, especially when you're first starting out, if you have a cheap, like shared hosting plan, they don't usually like it if your podcast is really popular and you're using a shared hosting plan to, you know, share your MP3 off of, but you can certainly get by with that to start anyways. And work your way up to something like Simplecast or Libsyn or whoever you decided to go with. So one of the things I like to end with, I guess, with all the shows is podcasts that you yourself listen to and shows that you're interested in, and then also what apps you're listening to podcasts on. So I don't know if you have your, I guess, first, assuming you listen to podcasts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think I've been listening to some form of this medium for a long time now. Like, I was just thinking about it before I came on the show, and I was thinking of back when, like, I watched Kevin Rose on Tech TV or something like that.
Yeah.
And I originally, like, got into listening to podcasts with Leo Laporte's podcast, whatever he does. And I haven't listened to him in a long time, but I used to nerd out over like tech TV stuff. And
yeah,
but that's probably goes back quite a ways, I guess. But recently now I kind of, instead of listening to music, I definitely listen to podcasts at work. So I'm sitting there all day, and most of the time, I think one of the big ones that I've been listening to the most that for the longest time is Justin Jackson's Product People. That's kind of one of the big reasons I did start the podcast, is because of his podcast and suggesting to start your own product. So that's definitely one of the biggest ones that I've listened to. I listened to all the episodes. I think he does a really good job of interviewing people, and he's got a personality. So it's fun to listen to. I like all the episodes I listen to, it's kind of for enjoyment, just to have something to listen to. And then also I like to be learn from them, most of them that I listen to. And I think I learned a lot from his from your show too. I've been listening to your show for a while too now. Nice. Just because I like hearing what other people use and the gear they use. I've kind of always been into that kind of that stuff. So I've always, every week yours comes out, I definitely listen to yours. 99% Invisible, I like. That one's kind of hit or miss for me. I just like the way that it's produced mostly. It's one of those ones that I just put on and I'll just kind of zone out and not think about it too much, because some of the times they're just so out there on what he's talking about. So
I agree, though. I like with that show is definitely one of those ones where, and I think it's popular enough that most people, podcast connected folks, have heard of it in some form, but may not actually listen to it necessarily, just because you can't possibly listen to everything. But definitely in terms of production value and style, it's kind of that NPR style ish, but I don't know, less, takes itself a little less seriously maybe or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. I like listening to that one just because I learn a little bit about how to podcast. Like I try and listen to a bunch of a variety of different podcasts to try, and I'm still trying to learn how to do this. So it's kind of homework for me to listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. Recently I just started listening to randomly the Pen Addict. I don't know why. I mean, it's mostly because I'm like, sometimes I think when I'm doing my own podcast, like how long can I actually talk about coffee? And these guys have done like over 100 episodes on pens. So yeah. It's kind of like, all right, you better be able to find something within the coffee industry to talk about for at least 100 episodes. So recently, Reply All from Gimlet Media, that one's pretty fun. I think they're doing some fun stuff, finding some interesting stories about the web that they do a pretty good job as well.
Yeah, I've listened to episode one, I think, of it, but I haven't gone back to it yet. But it's kept up, I guess, the sort of tone or quality that it's set out with.
Yeah, there's one episode where I wasn't too interested in it. I mean, that's kind of one of those ones where it's also hit or miss for me. But they actually talked to the girl who did Jenny Cam. That was kind of random that I felt that was interesting.
Right. Yeah,
that was pretty random. But another show from Gimlet Media, The Startup. I think a lot of people who are in the tech industry like listen to that one. I think it's an interesting story. I just find it entertaining to listen to. I don't really learn anything from it because I'm never going to get an investment that large or get to the status of Alex Lundberg or whatever. So it's mostly just for entertainment. But I find that show pretty.
You never know.
I find that show pretty yeah, entertaining
for sure.
And then I've always listened to The Gently Mad and The East Wing. I'm glad to see that Tim Smith brought that one back. So.
Yeah.
I got a whole list of them here. I was actually writing a blog post on all the podcasts I listen to. So
nice.
Maybe I'll put that up here soon. But one that we recently started listening to, my wife just started getting into podcasts. And there's this one called Chicken Thistle Farm Coopcast. So before bed, I always have to listen to these couple talk about their home farming. So that's been interesting.
So wait, what is it called again?
Chicken Thistle Farm Coopcast. They have a pretty interesting show, and just we always laugh at their little intro they do. I guess you'd have to listen to it, but
nice. Yeah, there's definitely a podcast about anything these days.
Yeah.
I'm sure, which is yeah, it's good. Well, it's great for this show because it keeps me with guests.
There you go.
For sure. So, oh, that's awesome. Cool. Any others? There's no official limit, but I'll cut you off.
For a coffee, if you're looking for another coffee podcast, I would say the Sweet Maria's Coffee. They're kind of been around for a long time, but that's kind of more you're learning about coffee and you're going into some like the real story behind coffee. We're kind of talking about stories based around coffee to help inspire you to go out and brew your own coffee. But this one is definitely giving you the facts about coffee, and he goes and takes you to the farm and he records his experience over there. So that one's kind of fun to listen to if you want to find another coffee podcast. I occasionally listen to the Rocket Ship podcast. It's kind of hard to listen to for me sometimes because the audio, it goes so weird every now and then with that one. But they like produce two shows per week, so it's almost too much for me too. But they have shorter episodes, which are pretty nice. So you can listen to them in about 20 minutes and hopefully get something. I definitely learn something from the show each time, though. So
that's the entrepreneur startup one?
Yeah, right. Yep. They usually talk to someone who's started a business or an app or something like that, and just give them a quick interview type show.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, that's a pretty good list of the ones I've been listening to lately.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you get your blog post up, you can ping the Show Me Your Mic account. I'll retweet it or whatever, and then that's always. I think that's one of the common feedback items, I guess, I get from folks is just, which I hadn't, it was kind of an add-on and wasn't really a thing I thought I should do for the show, but just that idea of we're all podcasters and maybe we might find something interesting to listen to because we like this medium. And so,
yeah. I have a ton of hobbies, so like I can almost find a show for everything that I like. And so it'll keep me busy. I mean, spending about 8 hours a day at a computer, you got plenty of time to listen to a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So cool. And what app do you listen to these days with, for podcasts?
If I'm online, I'll usually go to the website. I like visiting websites and seeing the design and that type of stuff. So I'll, if the show has a website, I'll go to it. But anytime at home, I usually use this app called Castro.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I think I downloaded that one a while ago. And when I recently got back into podcasts, I re-downloaded it. And their latest design and the feel and the way the app works, I'm really impressed with. So I really like listening to that one. And plus I'm working on an iPhone 4 still, so I can't really use, like, I was using Overcast, but then he kind of limited the support backwards, so yeah. I can't use that one anymore. But
well, nice. I just recently finally got off the 4, but I was a holdout like you to that, not necessarily by choice, but for reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, I feel your pain then.
Someday I'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's my wife is now using the 4 right now while we figure out what to do as far as phones. But it's funny how a thing I held for 4 years, I think, in my hand, 4+ years probably, now when I use it just feels so foreign and small and tiny. I can't imagine using it again, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I've had this phone for 5 years. I've never broke it or dropped it or anything, so it's mostly just to see how long I can actually use this phone. Is kind of the reason I haven't upgraded. So
nice. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's great. That's a good list of shows to check out if you're not familiar with any of those. Definitely, obviously, the East Wing is, you know, something to check out just because it's here in goodstuff.fm,
for sure.
All the other shows too are great shows. I'm familiar with most of them. Yeah. All right. And so besides, I guess, your sites, ibrewmyowncoffee.com, where else can folks find you or follow you on the internets?
On Twitter, I'm probably most active, and that'd be hybrid_Alex. And then I just kind of redid my own personal site at alexcarpenter.me, which hopefully I'll be doing a little bit more writing about stuff I've been interested in, sharing a little bit more on coffee personally there as well. So that'd be a good place to check out too.
Nice. Cool. Well, thank you for hitting me up to come on the show. If like I've said before, if you're interested in coming on Show Me Your Mic as a podcast, or you're listening to this and maybe you have you've broken the threshold of 5, we'll say, like Alex has, and you want to come on the show, definitely don't feel any like there's some other fancy requirements or whatever to come on the show. And you can visit goodstuff.fm/smym, and the link in one of the episodes, just pick a random recent episode, and the link to the show booking thing. Maybe it's just because it's late at night now. I don't usually record late at night anymore. My brain's a little more fried, but goodstuff.appointlet.com is where it'll take you. And you can book into a time. It looks like right now, as of this recording, January 20th is the next free date and beyond. So lots of openings in February if you're looking for opportunity to talk about your podcast and just some stuff, promote it, and just ideas about podcasts. If you might want to come on the show, I'd love to have you on. I'd also love to have a few folks review, rate this show on iTunes if you're so inclined. That would be very much appreciated. It helps get the word out about the show. I'm iChris on Twitter, and goodstuff_FM is the Good Stuff account on Twitter, and Show Me Your Mic has a Twitter account, SMYM_FM. If you've got thoughts, feedback, questions about podcasting stuff, hit me up on one of those places, or you can email me, chris@goodstuff.fm. My thanks once again to Campaign Monitor for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. And if you'd like to support me directly and my podcasting efforts, you can do so on Patreon, patreon.com/iChris. So for now, thanks for listening and have a great day.